So the if we consider the organization, how it came up gradually, in the first chapter also we have seen the evolution. So this is a kind of that. The society was primarily an agricultural economy with limited production in the earlier days. Number of specialized crafts were limited and was usually carried out within a village or community, with apprentices assisting master craftsmen, and the communication channels were limited. Then a group of people came together thinking of certain newer small scale things to do in an organization where the basic requirement was human, water, electricity, sanitization. So all these things are organizations: schools, university, hospital, local government, place of worship, that is say temples and madrasa and churches and everything. Each and everything is a kind of organization. Now what are the various types of organizations? One is private sector organization, the other is public sector organization, and the third one is non-profit organization. Private limited companies are there who are run by the entrepreneurs. So it is governed by the laws of capitalism. So the if you consider the private limited companies like Reliance, Wipro, Infosys, all these corporate hospitals like Reliance, Dhirubhai Ambani Kokila Hospital, Fortis Hospital, Jaslok Hospital, Bridge Candy Hospital, Ames Hospital in Delhi, in Gangaram Hospital in Delhi, there are hospitals in Hyderabad, Vellore, you have seen various kinds of private hospitals are there. So it is governed by the laws of capitalism. So these people are infusing lot of capital in the form of finance and other equipments and other things. Aim is to make private profit, and they have no governmental component in their structure. In their structure, there is not a single component of government. So their aim is basically to earn more profits for themselves. So it's a capitalistic mentality they have got. McDonald's, Marks and Spencer, and Indian Premier League, IPL, all these are examples of private organizations. Now comes public sector organization. This is owned and controlled by the government. Main aim is not to make profit, but to deliver government services to citizens at national, regional, and local levels. So transport, trains, post and telegraph, all these are examples of army. These are all then MLAs, local councils, where all these are national and health mission. All these are examples of government organizations. Earlier coal was totally controlled by government. Right? Even the banks were there, nationalized banks are there. So all these are government organizations. Then comes non-profit organizations, which are like, they provide goods and services for the benefit of society without seeking private profit in return. They are not interested in personal private profits at all. They are providing services to the community with no profit. Whatever profits are made, in case they are kept in the organization for future use and not owned by any individual or a group. The Doctors Without Borders, CRY, that is Child Rights and You, these are some of the examples of non-profit organizations. There are some charitable hospitals also who are having non-profit, they are considered to be non-profit organizations. For example, in Bombay, Airoli, if you see National Burns Hospital, which is run by a trust, it's a non-profit organization. Whatever amount of profit is being generated is utilized for the next year, and for that, for carrying out the services for the poor people, they are in fact conducting every month, every 3 months at least, the 2 to 3 days surgical camp for the beggars and other people, where part of the funding is done by the Rotary Club, etc., and part of the funding is given by the organization itself. So it's a kind of non-profit organization in providing the new equipments for the organization, in maintaining the organization in the hospital. All this is done by the non-profit organization, like as an example I told you, Burns Hospital in Airoli, right? So what are the factors which affect organizations? National competition is going to be there for any organization. For example, for Larsen & Toubro, there's a competition from Godrej. For Larsen & Toubro Information Technology IT part, there's a competition from Infosys, from TCS. So there is going to be national competition for any organization. There is going to be international competition. For example, when we say Larsen & Toubro and Godrej, they have got international competition from Siemens, which is a multinational company. For Godrej, who are producing soaps and other things, there's a competition from Hindustan Unilever. So there is an international competition. There is going to be productivity is needed for any organization. Their aim is to produce maximum as per the requirement of the customers internationally. Then removal of trade barriers. There are going to be some trade barriers by the international laws that are there for conducting the trade among various countries. So there are some GATT and then SAARC and other barriers are going to be there for the trade which one has to follow. Then there is going to be privatization. Different people are having private organizations, while non-private organizations are also going to be there, as we have seen in the last slide, the NGOs, non-governmental organizations, non-profit organizations, charitable organizations are there who are going to be in competition with you. Then governmental organizations are there. For example, for petrochemical, there is a BRCs, I mean the BPCL is there, which is government organization. Ordnance Factory is there for defense and all, which is government organization. So rapid changes in technology are occurring, which is also going to be a factor affecting organization, because newer technology comes, the newer products you are supposed to give, the newer features you are supposed to give, and that's a great competition. For example, in case of mobile phones, unless you keep up to date and give newer and newer features to your customers, you become obsolete. That's what has happened to Nokia. Earlier days, Nokia was having lot of production and lot of marketing, and lot of people were buying Nokia phones. Now you can hardly see anybody having Nokia because of the Samsung and iPhone and various other phones like which has come in the market, which are having at a reasonable cost with multiple features, better cameras and better memory and various things. So all these factors are going to affect the survival and the growth of the organization. Unemployment may be a factor. Demand and supply is there. So to get employees, if unemployment is more, you are going to get at a cheaper rate. For example, in China, you get the population is very huge, so they can get it. Aging workforce is there. As we age, we become little learning becomes little difficult as far as the newer and newer skills are to be applied. It becomes difficult for people. Then comes immigration. From one country to other, immigration rules and laws are different, so that also is going to affect. Then comes the today's world is knowledge workforce is required because of the knowledge organizations which are occurring. So the highly skilled people should be available for this. Skill shortages are there. Today we have seen many graduates and postgraduates are available, but they don't have the right kind of skills required for various organizations. So they are not employable at times, or already working people, they become obsolete. So they are no more employable for your organizations at times. And changing customer values. Customers are the kings in today's world, and their values are changing. They require better and better quality products and services, better and better features for your products. And their expectations are rising day by day with the global market available. Then labor mobility. That means people are going from one place to other, migrating from one part to the other, and hence labor mobility occurs. So people are ready to go to Gulf countries where they are getting better pay if they are highly skilled. So your organization may lose such people, attrition rate may increase, and your products and services may be affected because of this, even though you have put a lot of efforts to train them, and they just go away from your organization. That's why nowadays some of them are putting bombs and all also, but then also it's a limited thing. So you may lose good skilled manpower because of the mobility that is occurring. So let's learn about people in organizations after learning about people and organizations. Now, the organizations are created by rules and resources drawn upon and enacted by people. It is the HR people and the line managers who are going to create the standard operating procedures, rules, regulations, resources which are required to give the products and services required for the organization, and it is enacted by the people. Nature of organizations ultimately is the result of people's actions. What actions people take, how they behave, how skilled they are, all these things are going to affect the organization's nature. Organization's behavior reflects people's psychological, ethnic, racial, cultural, political, and social makeup. How people are going to behave in the organization as individual as well as in the groups, in the team, all is going to depend on how mature psychologically they are, what is their ethnic, racial, and cultural aspects from their family background, education background, nationality, all these aspects is going to affect, as well as politically, what are the government regulations, what government wants from the people, their legal aspect, all these things, as well as the social makeup of the people, how socially they are connected in society, how they live, what are their cultural aspects, all these things is going to affect their organizational behavior as well. People are the most important assets of an organization. That's why we are saying that it's a human capital. Human capital often refers to the characteristics and skills of people they bring to the organization, such as commitment, loyalty, expertise, etc. Now, people who are going to plan for the work that is given to them, how to do it, what methods to use, what procedures to follow, what all resources are required for that, how to procure them. They are going to design the work procedures, then they are going to implement it and sustain it. All these things are going to affect the organization, and end an organization's life also will be done by people when they feel that enough of orders are not possible and their products have become obsolete or something. So with this, let us understand the people, organization and employment per se. Success of individuals and organizations are measured by their adaptability to change. As we know, change is the only constant thing in this world, and adaptation is very important for organizations' growth and sustainability. So, unless the individuals as well as the organization as a whole don't adapt to the newer requirements and they don't change, it is likely that the organization will fail to sustain and it may die. As we have learned earlier in the organizational cycle, that every organization, like human beings, has got a cycle of life in the form of embryo, childhood, adulthood, middle age, and death. So some organizations are going to die if they become obsolete because they don't change. Legal contract is a written agreement between the individual and the organization that sets out the terms and conditions of employment. At the time of recruitment, when a letter of appointment is given to the person, there is a legal contract between the organization and the employee which tells about the terms and conditions of employment to the employee. While a psychological contract is not written, it's a metaphor used to describe a set of unwritten and unspoken set of expectations between the individual and the organization in the form of, say, a person should be loyal, committed to the organization's goals. He should do everything possible in the form of adaptation to the new things, in the form of improving the skills required for the newer products, in the form of adjusting with co-workers and the managers, and ultimately achieving the goals of the organization. And loyal to the company, he should not leak any confidential matter to anybody else. All these things will come under psychological contract. The changing nature of work and organization has led to a situation where there are no longer jobs for life. Those days of lifetime jobs have gone. Earlier days, people used to work for the same job throughout life. For example, the non-executive chairman today, Larsen & Toubro company, Mr. A.M. Naik, joined Larsen & Toubro company as a junior engineer at the age of 25. And he retired as CEO and executive chairman. And after retirement also, he is continuing as a non-executive chairman still at the age of, say, around 75 plus. So one can understand that earlier days people were loyal to the company, committed to the company. They remained in the company throughout their life or tenure of life till they work, till they were able to work. And this kind of situation is not there in today's world. In fact, in today's world, if a person remains in the same organization for 3 years or more, they feel that maybe he is not capable enough to upgrade his knowledge and skills to change the job and get better pay and perks. That is the way people are thinking in today's world. So no longer the better pension and the PF which is added by the company and all those are the things which are attracting employees to go to the organization, because they know that they are going to change the job maybe every 2 years or 3 years. So the changing nature of work and organization has led to a situation where there are no longer jobs for life. It is more of a contractual basis or for a project based, and all types of jobs are there nowadays. So those days are gradually going away where job for life is there. In fact, Japan still, there are companies who are keeping the lifetime jobs for the Japanese employees. Individuals no longer have to have long-term contracts, and organizations are not guaranteed to have employees that will stay loyal and committed. So the earlier days of loyalty, commitment, citizenship, which were taught in the HR management when we learned during my MHRDM and all, are gradually fading because those kinds of things are becoming less and less possible and evident in this kind of world today. It's evident that employee commitment, motivation, and job satisfaction are related and dependent on each other, and that their combination leads to improvement in employee performance. Of course, till they are working, there should be commitment, they should be motivated to work, and there should be job satisfaction. When these things are available, then only they can be committed to be dependent on each other, and that their combination can lead to improvement in employment performance by the employee. Finally, to conclude, instead of relying on traditional method of improving and developing commitment, there is a need to find new ways to build an effective bond between the individual and the organization. Now, the earlier methods which we were following for the commitment of the person, for the job, for the long-term remaining in the job, minimum attrition, all these things are not possible in today's world because of the change in mindset that has occurred with the project-based organizations and the people's way of life that has come in the youngsters, in the present generation, that they want to earn maximum within a short period of time, and probably they want to retire at an early age and enjoy life more. They are more into work-life balance, and their requirements are different in present world situation. So one has to find the new ways in which to engage this new generation employees and build effective bond between the new generation employees and the organization, between this kind of individuals and organization, to achieve better organizational goals and reduce attrition, whatever is possible. Thank you.